Welcome to the Philharmonia Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:27 British Summer Time. Today is May 17th. Today has been notable for its volatility, but let's first have a little bit of a recap of what's happened over the last 24 hours. Asia was mostly closed because of Buddha's birthday. The Chinese market was open, and it's been ranging for the last few days, not in a particularly convincing manner for the bulls, and really does need to start putting in upward dynamics to suggest that demand is regaining the upper hand, at least for the in the short term. The Nikkei was a little bit steadier, but closed relatively unchanged. The ASX in Australia was also a bit firmer. The majority of indices in Europe were down, most of them in excess of 1%. The DAX in particular was down 1.77%. Into the close on Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down by about half of 1%, perhaps a little bit more than that. The Nasdaq Composite was relatively unchanged, and Brazil was stronger by about 1.3%. US Treasuries were stronger by in excess of half of a full point and have pushed above the 125 area rather emphatically today. There's been a large degree of commonality across the government bond sector, so we've seen that gilts, bunds, and JGBs were also a bit stronger in here. In the precious metal markets, silver at one point was down a full dollar on the day and a bit more than that, but actually closed. Paired its loss during the day and closed down 26 cents. Palladium was a little bit firmer at up about $5, and platinum was stronger by about $7, although that was off its high in the day. So from the topography of this recap, there's a number of markets that closed well off their lows and a number that closed well off their highs. So there was a large degree of intraday volatility in a number of markets. The grain and bean complex was notable for its strength, and the wheat market was stronger by 27 cents, corn was stronger by 22, soybeans stronger by 14. In the industrial metal complex, copper was as low as $3.94 on that COMEX contract earlier today, but actually closed back above the $4 area and up slightly on the day. The industrial metals were otherwise relatively weak. Nickel was down by about $200, and zinc was down by 64. Lumber was limit down today; it was down a full $10, and that has been a deteriorating chart pattern for much of the last month. And it's back to 222, having been well in excess of 300 not that long ago. When we and The other notable event was in the oil market, where the West Texas Intermediate went down to $95.02 earlier today, but closed slightly up on the day at $97.37. So we've had a large degree of intraday volatility. These European markets, in particular, have been pulling back over the last week or two. The central point to this story, I think, remains oil. Oil has been pulling back over the last few weeks, and that's a positive development for for stock markets generally. Unfortunately, we did have an oil spike. It wasn't as large an oil spike as we had back in 2008, but these high prices have been sustained for long enough that they've acted as a brake on global GDP. And while we've had very encouraging earnings in the first quarter, they are unlikely to be as impressive in the second quarter, and the high oil price and indeed high commodity prices generally are acting as a brake on global economic growth. The relative strength of the government bond prices is reflecting that, where we've had an impressive rally in treasuries over the last month, and they're pushing above the 125 area, which has been the upper side of this four, almost 5 month range. And there's commonality there, so we're seeing that gilts have a relatively similar position in terms of relative strength, and so do bunds. where we're seeing this commonality is primarily in what people deem as safe havens. You certainly don't have that same type of relative strength on the periphery of Europe, and the European debt crisis continues to simmer in over the last couple of weeks, and this has been a slow motion deterioration on the periphery of Europe over the last year and more. That is likely to continue. The problems that are beginning to resurface once more in the USA with regard to the mortgage problems are also going to simmer for a while longer. So, with the spike in oil prices and US Treasuries pushing higher and the resurfacing of problems that have been largely ignored for much of the last year, people are becoming, investor sentiment has become a little bit more risk averse. And we're seeing that stock markets are beginning to come under a little bit of pressure here, and the likelihood of them spending a bit more time and pulling back towards their 200-day moving averages has increased in here. The other important factor here is that the weather conditions globally have been particularly inclement over the last 18 months, and last year saw a major move in the majority of food commodities. The grains in particular have been ranging for the last few months, and the floods in along the Mississippi and the forced breaking of levees and the drought conditions in much of Europe are helping to support prices in the grain and bean complex. The corn in particular has it went right up to test its the $8 level, which marked the 2008 peak. It's pulled back. It's in the process. It appears to be in the process of finding support in the region of the 200-day moving average. It's held its progression of higher reaction lows, and now it's beginning to move relatively impressively. So, whereas the majority of commodities had a degree of speculation behind them, particularly in the silver market and in the oil market, but the fundamentals in the grain and bean complex are pretty sound. The weather conditions over the last 18 months haven't been supportive of good crops, and economic growth, particularly in the world's population centers, is helping to swell the middle classes, and demand for food is on an upward, a secular upward trajectory. So, the pressure is on the supply side, and the supply side has had a number of problems in the last 18 months, and that's all supportive of prices. Longer term, when we look at inflation-adjusted charts, and we have a whole section in the chart library devoted to those, you can go through and look at as much long-term data as you can. And particularly for commodities such as corn and soybeans and cotton and live cattle, we've got a lot of back history. We can go back almost 50 years. And so many of these food commodities are breaking out of inflation-adjusted downtrends. That's an important development. The precious metals, energy, and the industrial metals all did the same thing 5 or 6 years ago and have moved on to impressive heights relative to their previous bases. And we're now starting to see that the food commodities are starting to break out of inflation-adjusted downtrends. So, this isn't a time to be coming to simply to assume that this is a cyclical move. Food commodities are always going to be volatile, and food commodities are going to pull back sharply whenever we get a big improvement in weather, and that is an inevitability at some point. But the fact that they've broken out of inflation-adjusted downtrends would suggest that they're more than likely going to be capable of supporting comparatively high prices, even on pullbacks, that the likelihood of them pulling back into long-term bases has decreased considerably. And that would suggest that we are on the the path to a new inflationary cycle, which will ebb and flow with both weather conditions, but also with investor sentiment. We've had a big move in oil prices, and oil prices appear to be coming back, and we've seen a certain amount of deleveraging. Silver has pulled back sharply from the $50 area and appears to be finding support above the $30 area, and that is a huge pullback, but not out of character with what silver has done in the past. It has been prone to these massive accelerations and equally even larger and swifter pullbacks. The push that we're seeing at present in government bond prices is likely a short-term affair. Potentially worst case scenario, it's a medium-term rally that we're seeing in government bond prices. But we're on a new inflationary cycle here, and government bonds are, particularly treasuries, are likely to be sound shorting opportunities on significant rallies. The current rally does not look over, but clear downward dynamics, particularly if we see them across a range of government bonds simultaneously, would likely cap this rally and offer a sound shorting opportunity when that occurs. But at present, the focus of attention among investors appears to be more that the first quarter's earnings are unlikely to be repeated in the second quarter, that GDP growth is likely to be a little bit slower, and that the environment is more skewed towards a little bit of deleveraging and profit taking rather than initiating large long positions in risk type assets. So we remain in a choppy market environment, which is likely to continue for a while longer, but the bullish case now is for the bulls to prove, and clear upward dynamics, particularly on stock markets, will be required to begin to indicate that demand is returning to dominance. In the meantime, the likelihood of reversions to the mean for particularly Wall Street and European markets, and indeed some of the high-flying Asian markets, has increased, and probably something similar for the precious metals and the energy complex. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening. I'll be flying to London tomorrow to conduct the next in our series of chart seminars, and I'll be back with comment of the day next Monday.